This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Yeah, rainy days and Mondays, we got that, Ed. Very good song. Ed came up with that right on the spot. It's very appropriate for people here in Tampa Bay. Good morning. That's the Carpenters, by the way. They were always great. Karen Carpenter. Sad story about Karen. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday. Here we go again, right? What do? When Monday comes, normally, you get up and go to work. Now when Monday comes, you get up and go around the house in circles. I don't know. It's May 18th, by the way. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation about the latest on attempts by former security advisor Michael Flynn to get his freedom back. Boy, he's been going through hell. Torture. So we're going to talk about that with Zach. Stay tuned for it. And people are getting pretty antsy right now about staying home. A number of lawsuits popping up in various states across the country saying the stay-at-home dictates are going too far. Are they right? We're going to talk about that as well. And what are some people doing to deal with the pandemic? Apparently going naked. And we're going to tell you about that as well. Might be a great therapy. Who knows? And in our ultimate top 10. And Ed, you're going to like this one because you're a dog lover. You're not a cat lover. You're a dog lover. You may even know the answer to it, but these are the top 10 longest living dog breeds. I think this is a good one. I think we'll see if you know what some of those are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are back in business. You call for reservations. They're in Dunedin. They're in the Overcash Plaza. So you call Nicole at 733-3773 to get on the list for your appointment. Find a good time for yourself. You get in there, no waiting. Great haircut. Great place. Totally clean. You'll love it. 733-3773. And by the way, we are on not only here on Tantalk, but you can listen to us at any time from our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on there. Just hit the podcast button, ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. Well, do you kind of sense that people are getting antsy about staying at home? Do you sense that people are, you know, you only go so far no matter what? No matter what, you only will go so far in being kind of closed in. And I think this has become evident. Stay-at-home orders aimed at reducing the spread of coronavirus now facing legal challenges from people and state officials alike. Places like California, Michigan, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Texas. California alone, they're facing at least a dozen lawsuits, including claims that the state has unjustly closed down gun shops and religious services, infringing on people's freedom of speech and assembly. And in one particular case, a resident alleges being forced to remain at home constitutes forced detention without due process. Kind of like being in jail, right? So here's the governor, Gavin Newsom. He says, we're being challenged. He goes on CNN to say this. He says, all across this country, every day, governors are being challenged, health officials being challenged, and it's a spirit of collaboration, he calls it. Those that continue to pursue things that put people in harm's risk, he says, you have to have stepped up efforts in enforcement and sanctions. Now, Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, wants to move the hell out of California. And the reference to collaboration apparently was with regard, when Gavin Newsom said that, to Elon Musk, who has reopened his business, by the way, much to the chagrin of Gavin Newsom. He's opened his business in Alameda County. And he said he's going to be disobeying the order requiring him to remain closed. Now, you heard about Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. She's having all kinds of trouble. She's a Democrat as well. She's up against a lawsuit from Republicans in both the House and Senate over the extension of an already strict emergency order that regulates people's movement. Now, that's where it gets a little strange, isn't it? You know, I've always wondered about, you know, you hear that thing that power, you know, that people get this power, this control over other people. Is there really, I mean, I find it hard to believe that people would get any kind of satisfaction about directing other people around all the time. But apparently, it's part of the human condition with a lot of people. So there's always that concern that a governor will all of a sudden become what? Power crazy? And now we're going to tell you that you can't go out after 6 p.m. and walk down the streets in our downtown area, or, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, Michigan's got trouble. Wisconsin, the Supreme Court struck down their safer at home dictate, saying that the governor, a Democrat by the name of Tony Evers, overstepped his authority when he extended the order through the end of May. You know, I wonder if this warm weather, and we were talking about this last night, Ed, do you think that because in Florida we have warmer weather, that that's kept the virus from being as, you know, bad?
Spread as fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it definitely has something to do with it, because just even the normal flu has that effect. How many times do you hear people during the summertime say, I've got the flu? I mean, it's usually in the wintertime.
Yeah, you're,
you know,
right about that.
We always get that flu, you know, alert, you know, go to Walgreens, get your shot. And, you know, that's usually around December, January, in the coldest months. I think it gets cold.
And the other thing is that people, you know, in Florida tend to want to get out a little more and walk outside, and they can do it for a longer period of time. And yet, you know, we've got most populated state. And we've got major cities, Miami, and Tampa, and Jacksonville, but we're nowhere near what's going on in New York. Now, New York, you know, it's got 8 million people clustered together, mm-hmm. Understood that.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got more people than they do. Well, and we have so many fewer, and we got all the older people where,
right,
40% of the people dying are over a certain age.
Yeah.
They're like in their 60s or 70s or 80s.
Well, it was 80% or the average age was 70.
Yeah, yeah. Younger people are, let's be honest, their systems are better adapted. They deal with it better. I'm beginning to think that the people that want to get out are right.
Well, yeah,
even
Governor DeSantis says that we wanted to get people away from each other because it seemed that quarantining them together was worse than,
exactly,
than having them out. And even Cuomo came out and said that, you know, hey, maybe we didn't go in the right direction by you know, sticking everybody together.
Yeah.
And putting people on the beaches and stuff, You know, when was the last time you had the flu? You didn't get over the flu until you sweat that thing out in bed or whatever. You know, you're out on the beach and you're sweating like crazy, and maybe it's going out of their systems.
Maybe.
It could be people that are just barely getting it, you know.
There's a lot we don't know about the virus. No, we're still learning about it, but I'm beginning to think that the heat and the better weather indeed is a factor, perhaps, perhaps in making things better here. Anyway, we're going to take our break. We're going to switch to talking about kind of an update on Michael Flynn, his fight for freedom with Zach Smith. So stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come along with me when I'm feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair, to run her fingers through my hair. Come.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, a rainy Monday here in Tampa Bay, although I think we need the rain. Delighted to have Zach Smith join us. He is a legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies for the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk a little bit about this poor guy, Zach, Michael Flynn. I mean, I think everybody's beginning to say, let him alone, even if he did tell a little fib. Come on. I mean, you're ruining his life and his family's life. So tell me, perhaps we could get a little update. It sounds like this judge that's been overseeing this whole Michael Flynn trial situation is heavily, heavily biased against him. What do you think?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me
This
morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
You raised several good points. The entire Michael Flynn investigation and prosecution and where we stand today, the whole thing has been odd from the very beginning. And unfortunately, from the outset of the investigation, it looks like the FBI and the Department of Justice didn't follow their standard procedures and protocols in interviewing General Flynn. And as you alluded to, you know, the Department of Justice, based on recent information, they decided to dismiss the charges against Michael Flynn. And the judge in this case has taken the very odd and very unusual step of appointing a retired federal judge to argue against that motion and to investigate potentially charging General Flynn with criminal contempt for committing perjury in court. And that step is unheard of.
Yeah, this is bizarre. This is bizarre. This guy judge is acting like the prosecutor. Now, we know that he doesn't like, I don't think he likes the Trump administration. I think he's Democratic. That's fine. But to do what he's doing, I'm almost surprised that somebody doesn't wrap his knuckles immediately.
Well, you know, hopefully the judge will ultimately agree with the Department of Justice and dismiss the charges. If he didn't do that for some reason, it really at that point becomes very uncertain what would happen. I would anticipate there'd be an immediate appeal to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in trying to rectify this situation.
Yeah. In the meantime, Zach, what's Michael Flynn doing? He's not in jail, right? Is he sitting at home? What's his status
now? He's not in jail. You know, right now they're waiting for these hearings that the judge has ordered to take place. And so I anticipate until that happens, everything's kind of on hold and in limbo for General Flynn. And so hopefully the judge will move expeditiously and get these hearings done and make whatever decision he's going to make so that at least at that point, Michael Flynn and everyone else involved in the case can decide on what the next appropriate steps should be.
Yeah. Maybe you can give us a little backstory on this whole thing. Why were they going after Michael Flynn originally? I say they. That would be the Department of Justice under apparently the Obama administration. Can you give us a little background on it?
Sure, absolutely. And like I said a couple of minutes ago, it's very odd and troubling from the outset. You know, Michael Flynn was caught up in part of the larger Russia collusion investigation. And what we've learned over the past couple weeks is that before the FBI ever went and talked to Michael Flynn, they had already decided he didn't have any relevant information to that investigation, and they were prepared to close out their file on him until the FBI leadership, presumably Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe, intervened and kept it open and ordered that the FBI agents go over and talk to Michael Flynn. And kind of after the fact, one of the justifications the FBI used for their interview of Michael Flynn was a potential Logan Act violation. Now, the Logan Act, for your listeners, if you're not familiar with it, it's a 200-year-old law that prohibits private citizens from talking to foreign governments that may have an adverse relationship with the United States. And the last person to be prosecuted under the Logan Act was in 1852. And so the idea that the FBI was investigating the incoming national security advisor for a Logan Act violation, it's absurd.
Yeah. I mean, come on, they were out to get Trump. Let's be honest. They were out to figure out a way to get Trump. And to the point of unmasking Michael Flynn and the people that were involved in unmasking. And then, of course, with unmasking, that's a hard one, too. It's a little complicated. But basically, if you're going after somebody for surveillance and you got an innocent person talking with them, you want to shield the innocent person, right?
Right. And unmasking, you know, it's a fairly standard procedure in the intelligence community. But you're absolutely right. The reason that the identity of American citizens who are caught up on foreign surveillance type calls is that you don't want to unduly intrude on the rights of the American citizens. And so, like you mentioned, there were many, many requests to unmask Michael Flynn in his conversation with the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, part of the Heritage Foundation, talking a little bit about Michael Flynn. You know, the guy is what, a war hero. He served in the Obama administration. I think he was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency there. He was appointed National Security Advisor initially before Donald Trump took office. He was named. So, I mean, you know, So he decides to talk with the Russian ambassador, which he has every right to do. In fact, I would hope he would get his ducks in a row with some of our more important countries. And he does that. And it just seemed like there was almost like a cabal. What do we have? We have a whole group of people encircling Obama, including Biden and a few others there, the United Nations head, trying to figure out a way to deal with this. What was that all about?
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head in a lot of ways. And the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice didn't follow their standard procedures and protocols in interviewing Michael Flynn. And, you know, the reason those procedures and protocols exist are twofold in a lot of ways. First, they exist to protect the integrity of the investigation to make sure there's a factual basis for any charges that might be brought. And then they also exist to protect the rights of the individuals who are being either targeted or interviewed by the law enforcement agents. And what we saw here is that the FBI didn't follow their standard practices, and in fact even had Jim Comey bragging about it, saying that, you know, he didn't follow those practices, and he just sent a couple of guys over to the White House, something, you know, he ordinarily might not have gotten away with.
I just wonder if the shoe were on the other foot and it had been like Bush doing it to Obama, how the media would have handled that one. You know? I don't know. Well, it just seems like it, I mean, it's almost like a slam dunk to me that they are abusing what they are doing to this Michael Flynn. I mean, you wouldn't know it necessarily if you just read the mainstream media's reports on it. Thank God there are people like you around to kind of shed a little more light and sunlight into this. But
well, and I think the encouraging thing is, you know, we only learned about a lot of the problems in the Michael Flynn prosecution because Bill Barr appointed an independent U.S. attorney to review his prosecution. He's also appointed an independent U.S. attorney, John Durham, up in Connecticut, to review the larger Russia investigation. And so I think Bill Barr's done a great thing by appointing those U.S. attorneys to review these two investigations and prosecutions that came out of them. And hopefully, when John Durham finishes his investigation, we'll have a better idea of exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, Bill Barr's getting crucified in the media, too. He's getting crucified for appointing people like that. So it doesn't make any difference. You know, it's still, it's just, I don't know, it's so bizarre to me that our whole Justice Department, not our whole Justice Department, but key figures in the Justice Department can do what they did and not be, I don't know, brought up immediately and, you know, getting their comeuppance for it. But we, you know, it just, it's kind of a scary deal. I mean, when you, it's like a movie. You know how they make these movies and there's some key people in some intelligence department that are really out to go after the good guy and stuff like that, you know?
Sure. And I think Bill Barr, again, has done a great thing by appointing John Durham. And in a lot of ways, the other individuals involved in initiating these prosecutions against Michael Flynn and the Russia investigation, they're receiving a benefit of a full, thorough and fair investigation that unfortunately a lot of the people that were targeted during the Russia investigation and General Flynn, it doesn't look like they received that same benefit. Mm-hmm.
And finally, when do you think this is all going to be over? When are we going to finally get some relief on this and have it over with and Flynn can forget about worrying about showing up for any more? Is there any idea?
It's hard to say. You know, again, hopefully the judge will move quickly to hold these hearings and do whatever he's going to do in Flynn's case. In terms of the John Durham investigation, everything we're hearing right now points to that we'll hopefully have information from that investigation sometime later this year.
You think that Trump should pardon Flynn and just stop the whole thing?
You know, I don't know that we're at that point yet. Hopefully, if after the judge holds his hearings, he will accept the Department of Justice's motion and dismiss the charges, which would make a pardon unnecessary.
Yeah, it would look better, wouldn't it, to have it done that way. Zach, thank you so very much for taking time on a Monday morning and talking with us about this. Such an interesting case. And,
of course. Thank you.
Hopefully talk with you again soon. All right, sir.
All right, take care.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation. Okay, going to take our break. When we come back, going to get our eye on the northern sky, get his perspective on what is going on in upstate New York. So stay tuned.
Now, I hate to need you to help me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumble down. You leave me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We are back, and we're getting much needed rain here in Tampa Bay right now, so I'm kind of happy about it. That's good news to me. There's also good news across the country. Almost 700 points that the Dow is up right now, Ed, so that's good news, you know. I guess they always look to the future, and maybe whatever you want to call them in the stock market are saying, you know what, it looks like things are kind of coming back slowly but surely, and that's a good sign.
Actually, they're saying the boost today is the announcement on the first phase completion on the vaccine.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now,
second phase will be in July.
So okay, excellent. So it sounds like we're making some progress towards getting something.
Ahead of schedule.
Excellent, excellent. I got one more thing before we get to our buddy Angelo. And that is that in Britain, a woman who was just a couple of hours away from dying from the coronavirus made it out of it. And she's doing well now. And that, they called it a miracle recovery. That, you know, that's okay news. We're kind of happy about it. But here's the thing. She's 102 years old.
Wow.
102 years old. Her family said at one point we were told she wouldn't make it through the night and that she might not live for another 2 hours. And God love her, she made it. So that's good.
Good.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. I love fighters. And speaking of fighters, we got a guy on the other end of the line here, Angelo Ceresi, our eye in the northern sky. Angelo, when in the heck is the Empire State going to open things up? Now, I know that New York City is going to be the last part. But are they opening things up like in Rochester right now a little bit more?
We've had some things open up, but now they said that Bob Duffy, the one who is coordinating the area in the Finger Lakes area here, says the lack of social distancing may delay reopening.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, my wife and I, we took a ride down by the lake the other day. Mm-hmm. The weather was like almost 80 degrees, you know?
Yeah.
And there were people out there, but they weren't social distancing, no masks, just congregating, nothing, you know?
Yes. Now, you're on Lake Ontario, correct?
Yes, right on the lake.
You're right there. How far are you specifically from the lake from where you live?
From where I live, it's about maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
But 15 minutes, yeah.
So you go down there, and it's a sunny, warm day?
Yep. And it was all, you know, people were out there congregating, and they weren't doing social distancing, especially a lot of the younger people. They don't, They don't.
You can understand that, right? They're a little more exuberant, right? They're running around. Yeah. Okay.
And I guess they don't believe in this thing, you know, that it's for real or whatever. Who knows, you know? But, you know, we've had, like, I think we had 46 new confirmed new cases,
mm-hmm.
Bringing our total to 2,227 and 172 deaths so far.
Now, you're talking, when you say that number, you're talking about the Rochester area.
Rochester area, yes.
Correct. And how many people approximately live there in that area?
Well, with the whole Rochester, when they take the whole thing in, you got about 2 million people.
Okay, so you got about 2 million people. And how many people have died in that group?
172.
Okay. So that would be less than 0.5%, if my math is correct. I'm not sure that my math is correct, but...
And the thing is that, I mean, you know, like I said before, the way they have politicized this coronavirus, you know, people are going to believe it and people are not going to believe it, you know. Many people believe that it's a domestic terrorist thing, blaming the Democrats for it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but most straight-thinking people believe that there is a virus, right? They believe that it can hurt
people. I would think so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would think so,
yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, here's my theory on it, and I could be totally wrong, you know, that the way the Obama administration did the coup back when they started in 2016, all the way to right up to the inauguration and everything, what they did and how they conspired to have the coup to overthrow the president, you know, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people believe that if they're capable of doing something like that, that they're capable of doing this. You know how they go after Fauci? They go after BRICS, you know, saying they're part of the deep state. You know, so people keep throwing this conspiracy theory in, you know?
Oh, yes.
And sometimes I can't blame them for thinking that because you see what happened. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
And, you know, conspiracy things pop up when we don't have enough information as to what happened. That's when they pop up, the conspiracy theories.
Right, and they
just don't have enough info.
They have to bring out more information, just like on this thing. Judge Attorney General Barr has got to bring more evidence out, and Judge Durham's got to bring more evidence out so that people really know what happened, you know what I'm saying, and make a clear judgment on what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, there's a small minority of people, I think, that believe that somehow the Democratic Party is in cahoots with China to, you know, release a virus. But
I have a friend that believes that, yeah.
Oh, I know. I've talked with people that have said, well, I'm not so sure they wouldn't try it. But to me, it seems like the doggone stupid virus, whether it came out of the lab, that Wuhan lab, or it started in the market. I don't think it was intentional. I do think that China intentionally tried to cover for it and tried to, like, you know, tried
Absolutely.
To stop it without telling anybody, and it got out of hand. And then, you know, the thing about the airports where they wouldn't allow intra flights, in other words, within China. They'd allow them to go out of China. Now, to me, that's treacherous.
Well, that's why people believe that it's a conspiracy of what happened. You know what I'm saying? Some people call it chemical warfare. I've had people tell me, oh, it's chemical warfare.
Or biological warfare.
Biological warfare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's just like a lot of people believe how both parties go against each other during a political confrontation, correct? Or a political season. A lot of people believe that Trump is this and Trump is that, you know. And no matter what you tell them, you can't convince them
because
they already believe this.
Absolutely. It's like a religion. We're talking with Angelo Ceresi. He's the brother of Andrew, the master barber who finally opened. Did you talk with Andrew recently, Angelo, about his reopening his barbershop?
He says he was doing, you know, he couldn't sit down 2 minutes. He says he was.
Oh, he's packed.
Packed that you can't.
Yeah, you get a reservation. You know, his wife, Nicole, sets you up and you find a time that's perfect for you. I went in, got a great haircut. They got it down to a science, Angelo. They got it down to a science.
I need to get a haircut, you know. My buddy, he can't open here.
Get on a plane and fly down here to Clearwater. Get off the plane, go over, get your brother to do it. He'll even give you a discount.
You think he'll give me a family discount?
He's going to give you a family discount, 50 cents off.
I'll be right.
No, I'm not kidding. I was so happy for myself when he opened up because I've been waiting and waiting to. I was seriously thinking of taking an electric razor.
That's a razor, right?
And trying to cut. And I thought I will look like a padre if I do it. I better stay away from doing that. You know.
Well, I don't know. You know, now they're talking like last night. They had a confrontation with the police. You know. Two police officers were hurt in one of the areas.
Really?
Here, yeah.
Trying
they had
to open
like a memorial thing going on, and
were they trying to open up a business or what?
No, they were. It was a memorial event, you know.
Yeah.
I guess somebody had been killed or something like that, and they tried to disperse the crowd because they weren't following social distancing guidelines.
Oh, I see. That's that gets pretty sticky because I can see where that can really set people off. You know what I mean?
Well, we've had protests here in Rochester about opening up. You know what I'm saying? You know, just like in other parts of the country. A lot of people
feel
that their freedoms are being taken away and everything. Like,
yeah, we talked about that a little earlier, about several states now where there are lawsuits.
Well, we got one coming up here. We got a couple of firms, I guess. One firm for sure is suing the governor.
And I was going to ask you how Governor Cuomo right now is doing in the eyes of New Yorkers. I mean, for a while he was like the golden boy, I thought.
Yeah, not too good because he's the one that ordered the COVID-19 viruses with the nursing homes.
Yeah, he ordered those nursing homes to take in people that had the older people that had the disease.
Right.
What did he expect when he did that with vulnerable older people in the place to begin with?
I don't know.
I guess
your governor down there did the right thing.
So do you think his fortunes have changed in terms of the eyes of the people of New York?
I think so, a little bit.
Yeah.
You're always going to have your diehards that, you know, no matter what, he can do no wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to have that. But for by and large, I think his star is not shining as bright as it was.
No, it doesn't seem like it is. It really doesn't.
And he's catching a lot of flack for that, a lot.
There's also a story that I found. There are some that dispute the way they count the deaths from the COVID-19, saying that in many cases people already had kind of a death sentence with something else, and they contract the virus, but it's not the virus that that actually killed them. And so they're, like in Colorado, their governor there they have changed the number of people that they claim died from the virus downward. And I wonder if there's any truth to that. What do you think?
I don't know. I've heard different stories on that one. I've heard that if a person is put on a respirator and dies, and they claim it as COVID-19, they get $39,000.
Oh, that'd be an incentive.
And if there isn't,
really?
Then it's $13,000.
Well, that would be just plain stupid, because that would be an incentive for somebody to make it up.
Right. I mean, and
are you sure about that? That sounds
not,
like that sounds like a rumor. Where did you hear that?
I just heard that from stuff that you read on the internet.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that.
Believe everything.
No.
But I've heard. I've talked to other people that have told me the same thing. I haven't heard anything from any medical personnel or anything like that.
Right.
As far as that goes, you know, I mean, here's bits and pieces, and but I do know that. My friend's mother, she was 97. She did go home. She wasn't feeling too good. She wasn't feeling good at home. They take her to the hospital. He and his sister took her to the hospital. And then they released her after probably about 3 days or whatever. Goes back home. She's getting worse. She goes back into the hospital. And she passed away in the hospital. And they said she passed away on the death certificate. It says COVID-19.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, and she was 97 years old. I mean,
you know, anything could have taken her at that point, I guess, right?
Right, but she was very coherent. She was doing things for herself. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think she was indeed?
I think she caught the virus in the hospital.
But do you blame the virus for her death?
Well, I would think so because
yeah,
she didn't have it before.
Right.
You know, I mean, she went to the hospital. She comes down with it, you know?
You know, 40%, we were talking about this, Ed and I, a little earlier, about 40% of all the people getting the virus and or dying from the virus are like 70s.
Yeah.
And 80s. But not, you know, 40%. I mean, and if you just took the nursing homes out of the equation, it changes dramatically the number of deaths, you know?
Right. You know, like I'm 70. I'm going to be 71, you know, later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
That I would be, and the doctor, my own doctors told me that I'm one of the high risk people.
Of course, yeah. And you've got other conditions that you have, so your system is maybe, what, a little more vulnerable or something?
Yeah, well, my daughter's girlfriend's father was in Vietnam the same time I was, and in the same area. And he ended up with the same heart condition I have. He ended up with the cysts on his lungs that I have. In fact, they had thought he had cancer before they went in and checked it out. And he died. You know, he was 70 years old, 70, 71 years old.
When did he die?
Probably about a month and a half ago.
From the virus?
They don't know yet. That I guess my daughter's waiting for her.
Oh, wow.
Her girlfriend to talk to her. She,
yeah.
Her girlfriend lives in Virginia.
Okay.
And they were wintering down in Florida. And so I don't know. And my daughter hasn't heard anything. But, I mean, he was okay. I mean, he had the same underlying issues that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in the hospital.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, my stuff is from when I was in Vietnam. If I didn't go to Vietnam,
yeah,
I'd be okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Lots of talk about what happened to those guys over there, Agent Orange and everything else.
Well, I got the Agent Orange, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got all that stuff.
Well, you just stay as healthy as you can because we love talking with you, Angelo, every Monday. Thank you so very much. We'll talk again next Monday, God willing.
I enjoy talking with you guys. It's always a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Thank.
One of these days, I'm going to take a trek down there.
You darn well better come over to the studio so we can sit down and really talk for a while.
Absolutely, I will do that.
Thanks, Angelo.
You're quite welcome. Enjoy your day.
Okay, you too.
Be safe.
Our eye in the northern sky. Angelo, all right, let's take our little break. When we come back, you know what some people are doing to deal with the pandemic, especially in England? They're taking off all of their clothes. We're going to tell you about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine magazine and Bon Appetit magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works. By the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network, 106.1 FM and 1340 AM. So, what do you do to combat both boredom and the coronavirus? Well, a UK nudist organization says there is a 100% increase in new members amid the virus pandemic, as isolationists increasingly become comfortable with letting it all hang out during their lockdown. Now, this is British Naturism. It's a group that promotes living everyday life, sans clothing, and they say they gained 210 members over the past 2 months, a substantial hike from their pre-pandemic days. And here is Andrew Welch. He is he's some official with that organization. He says, nude sunbathing seems to be the new national pastime. Now, nudism is legal in the United Kingdom. You know, it's funny, they're not like a sunny place. They got a lot of rain and fog, don't they? I mean, would
and
you
and cold.
Want, yeah. I don't know if I'd be wanting to walk around in the buff outside. I guess maybe they have a lot of indoor nudist places.
Maybe.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this guy says he largely credits social isolation for the recent, what they call, disrobing deluge. He says, I'm sure a healthy proportion of those people are suddenly able to experience nudity at home because they don't have to get dressed. So maybe that's it. I don't know. That's very, very interesting. One other interesting thing I heard, and I find it hard to believe. Maybe you heard this too, Ed. I thought traffic accidents and traffic deaths would go down during this pandemic because I thought maybe there would be less traffic. Did you know when they're taking these little surveys that there's actually an increase? And one of the reasons they claim is that people are going faster because they are more open. Mm. In other words, they're speeding more. Yeah. Have you heard? Did you see anything on that?
I last I saw they were down, actually.
I would have thought they would be down. Yeah. I found that very surprising when I read it. I really did. Okay, before we go to our top 10, Ed, I got to ask you about baseball because you're a big Rays fan, and apparently they're going to try and do a season. What are they going to do? Are they going to do like a half of a season, like 80 games or something? And then I would think that if you just drug test the players before they come into the stadium, and if they're all clean, why do you have to worry about spitting or doing this or doing that?
Well, it's going to be 82 games, so it's a half games. A season. But here's the thing. Yeah, for the game, but what about when they're away from the stadium? You know, what they do, who they interact with. You going to do that every day or,
well,
you know, there's talk about, you know, quarantining them in a specific hotel, you know, and then you got guys like Blake Snell saying, I ain't going to see my family and
ain't going to let no coronavirus do me.
That damn Rona. But I don't know. They're just, man, you know, a lot. We're talking probably July.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think, I believe July 4th they're talking about. Which would be about right, because that's usually the All-Star break.
That's about halfway through a regular season.
You know, a lot of things might change, you know, in the next 6 weeks, you know? So, I don't know. I still got this theory that I believe something that maybe that development of that vaccine is, you know, right ahead of schedule. And I think they're preparing for this thing to come out way sooner. And once it does, it's a game changer. It's a game ender. The game's over,
is this,
you know?
Is this the one from that San Francisco lab
that we talked
about the other day? Okay.
It's already passed phase one.
Excellent. That's very good.
Phase one means it has the antibodies to counteract the virus.
Oh, wow.
So
let's keep our fingers crossed. That would be the best news. The best news. All right, Ed. Time to do something you're going to like. The top 10 dogs with the longest lifespan. Get over there on those drums. This comes from Honest to Paws. Honest to Paws is the name of the organization that has conducted this. Longest lifespans. Here we go. Number 10. The Papillon. Have you heard of that dog?
No.
Papillon.
No.
I don't think it's a big dog. I remember
these are all going to be small dogs, I can guarantee.
You would think that.
And I guarantee the winner is probably going to be the nappy little snippy dog that yaps and snips at anybody that walks past
them. Yeah, your favorite kind. Yeah. Your favorite, no. Well, we'll find out. Number two. Anyway, the Papillon is average lifespan 13 to 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Number nine, the Manchester Terrier.
Mm-hmm. Small breed.
That's a small breed. Yes, it is. Right. 14 to 17 years. Number eight, the Cockapoo.
Cockapoo. Okay.
They're small.
Yeah.
Generally. Cocker Spaniel and a Poodle mix.
Mm-hmm.
The Cockapoo. 14 to 18 years. Number seven, a Pyrenean Shepherd.
Hmm.
Now, that's not a small dog necessarily. Mm-hmm. And it's number seven, 15 to 17 years they live. Number six, I love this breed, the Rat Terrier. Just the name, the Rat Terrier. Ever seen one?
No, but it sounds like a rat.
Yeah, it does. 15 to 18 years. Number five, the Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
Small, big, what is it?
Small.
Yeah, I think you're right. 12 to 20 years. They can live 20 years.
Wow, that's like a cat.
It is. You're right. Number four, I don't even know how to pronounce the official name of this dog, but it's called the Mexican Hairless Dog.
Oh, looks like a... Looks
can you
like
imagine
a,
petting no, something without no, any fur on it?
No.
That's kind of... It's like petting a snake.
It looks like something getting ready to drop in the boiling pot.
Oh, poor thing.
Well, in certain countries, yeah.
Oh, God, let's not go
it
there.
It looks like a hairless rat.
Oh, my God. Well, so much. Cancel my order for the Mexican hairless dog, thanks to Ed. They live, though, between 12 and 20 years. Number three.
Not around me.
The Shiba Inu. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
S-H-I-B-A, and then the other word is I-N-U. I'd never heard of it. It sounds like something out of Asia. Anyway, 12 to 20 years. Number two. And I know you love this one. The Chihuahua.
Hmm.
Now, they're about the smallest dog there is.
Okay.
And 12 to 20 years for a Chihuahua.
That's a big span, though, 12 to 20.
I know it. I know. You are right about that. But that's, what else can you do? Yeah. They gotta figure it out, I guess. And they didn't want to come up with, like, a median age on this. All right, Ed.
I'll shout in the dark. I'll say Jack Russell. I don't know. This thing
is
so damn smart, you know.
Well,
maybe they figured out a way to live longer.
They are smart, and they love to jump. You ever seen a Jack Russell jump straight up in the air? They're amazing. Anyway, unfortunately, you're wrong. It's the Australian cattle dog. They live from age 11 to the mid-20s. Mid-20s.
Wow.
The Australian cattle dog is not a small dog, Ed. It's a medium-sized dog, the Australian cattle dog. We have to get a look up a picture of that thing.
Hmm.
Anyway, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Stay safe, and remember, freedom works.